It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, a discussion with leaders who share their pathways to success. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Success Happens. It's another fabulous day, and it's so great to have you with us. And I am, as always, excited about my guests. You know, we have such amazing people that are willing to come and talk to me and talk to you and share their life story. And today is no exception. And I was thinking about, you know, all that we've been through in this primary season and, you know, the leadership that it takes to run for office. And I think a lot of times people don't necessarily know the person behind the candidate. And I think this is a great opportunity today to have you get to know perhaps some things you didn't know about Regina Williams, who ran for county executive here in Frederick County. And I know that we have listeners that listen from all around the Middle Atlantic area. But I want to just mention that, you know, anybody who runs for office, and I've said this before and I'll say it again because it bears repeating, takes a lot of chutzpah. It takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there in the ring. And sometimes you deal with cheap shots at you, you know, across the bow, so to speak. And but at no matter what, because I've done it and I know this is true, you grow from the experience. And so I would like to welcome Regina Williams to our show. Welcome to Success Happens.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a pleasure. And I was thinking about, you know, how to kind of put a bow on the primary, right? And I thought, what a nice opportunity to have you join us, because one thing I was impressed about with your candidacy was, and many have said this, is that you really ran a very, I would say, respectful race with dignity and grace.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That means a lot. And that was, you know, I pledged from the beginning as a candidate who has never run to run a campaign with the highest integrity. And I chose carefully. You know, Brett Hess was my treasurer, and Debbie Williams, my mom, was my campaign chairman when we formed our committee. And they are two people of faith and respected in this community, and I wanted to make them proud no matter what the end result was, how we ran this race.
Well, you know, I always say, because my husband and I, you know, I always say we are so blessed. We are truly blessed. But blessings come from how you be in life, you know,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's that whole tenfold thing. And, you know, when we operate with integrity, when we operate with grace, it doesn't mean perfection.
Absolutely.
Right. None of us are perfect. And unfortunately, too often, I think in campaigns or in the race to the finish line, it gets down in the dirt. Right.
Yes.
And we lose sight of the point, what we are up to.
Yes.
Right.
And I think that you can tell a lot about a candidate by how they run their race, how they treat the other candidates, their opponents, how wisely they spend their money, and how hard they work. I think you can tell a lot about a person's character as a candidate.
I think that's true. I think that's really true. And I think that, you know, there's more to come, right? There's more to come. So it's the beginning of something, not the end of something.
I do believe that. You know, I don't know what God has in store for me. I have no regrets as far as it's been an amazing journey, an experience for me. And, you know,
what was the thing you liked the most?
I would say overall, it was actually the door knocking, the going into the communities. You know, we go in the evening and, you're walking around and you see a father helping his son practice baseball, or a couple sitting out having a glass of wine, getting ready to grill, and you smell the, you know, the food grilling. But I went to so many neighborhoods I'd never been in, and you see Frederick County. You just saw the real Frederick County, and getting to meet, introduce yourself to someone, and actually for the first time in introducing someone myself, and they recognizing who I am. I'm Regina Williams. They're like, I know who you are. I've see your signs, or I saw your interview on the newspaper, and it wasn't your Debbie Williams' daughter or Johnny Williams' daughter. It was they knew who I was from what they had read or seen on the signs.
Well, I know your mama must be so proud. I know. And that is so great. And it's really inspiring, actually, to see how close the two of you are. But let's step back for a minute, because that's behind us now. And there's a whole plethora of things ahead of you. But what I thought would be perhaps beneficial would be to go back a minute and talk about your story, because I don't think everybody realized that you are a certified public accountant. And coming from a long line of certified public accountants, my whole family was in the business. Well, not my whole family. The half of the family that were brainiacs were the CPAs. The other of us, me included, are the creatives, right? A couple of attorneys included in that fold. But, you know, CPAs are a unique breed, because you have to abide by a very high level of integrity to be a certified public accountant. That is part of the ethics of the work. Could you maybe speak to that?
Yes, and I think that objectivity and that independence that is part of the code of conduct for a CPA, I think that bid me well in politics, and it actually kind of inspired me to do the run as a CPA. I worked in Winchester Hall for 14 years, and you know, you watched politicians.
And by the way, I have to interject, they were lucky to have you. I mean, to have a CPA in your role was, it was beneficial to the county for sure.
Yes, and I think Frederick County is very lucky. There's quite the finance division there. There's several CPAs there, and that's very uncommon in county government,
right?
The caliber of employee we have in that finance division. And that is, it brings a level of professionalism and professional skepticism when looking at financials, and I think a conservative long-term approach to financial management that you don't necessarily get.
Well, and boy, I don't know of a CPA, and I've known a bunch. I don't know any of them who aren't fiscally conservative.
Correct. Yes.
It just comes with the gig.
Yes.
Exactly. So when you look at your history in government, and now you're in private practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're back to practicing as a CPA?
Yes.
Okay. How do you compare the two?
They're like night and day. Private business versus government accounting, it's two different worlds. Government accounting, but I think it lends itself well to a CPA. It's about accountability and transparency in the reporting. In the private sector, it's a profit motive. It's about the earnings. And so in government, you know, it's not a voluntary transaction. No one says, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars for these services. You know, they are you're taxed. You pay a tax, and you may not get the value of what you paid in taxes as services that you're going to take back. So it's an involuntary transaction. So the importance of accountability and being a good steward of the taxpayer's money and being able to communicate that in financials, it's a whole different objective there.
Yeah, it's interesting, because you when you spoke about it in terms of expenditures versus earnings, boy, what a vast difference. But really good business owners that I know, and I am one, we're watching those expenses.
Absolutely, and should be. And
right.
It is. It's very important. So the overall, you know, everyone wants something, whether you're a business owner or in government. And I believe we need more entrepreneurial spirit in government and in managing government and treating it, you know, more like a business, because it is being efficient, being effective, having a effective delivery of service, being efficient in how you spend those dollars and resources are the difference between success in both the private sector and in government.
Mm-hmm. No, it's interesting, because I think somewhere along the way we lost track of government is for the people, by the people. It's not by some groupies called government workers, and they do it to the population, which is what we've become. Right. We've become this group of people called government workers, which I, by the way, am one. But I think like an entrepreneur, back to your point, having that entrepreneurial spirit is so beneficial to government. But at some point, I think we also need to perhaps do some retraining in the thinking of government to do a course correction. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. And that was one of my goals. We talked about changing the culture of county government. And I think that's something I brought to the race as Danny Farrar, council at large. We ran campaigns, you know, jointly on the campaign trail, and he would refer to it as boots on the ground. And I think I brought that being in county government, a unique perspective. And I think it begins at the top with leadership. And we had a lot of goals and things that bringing some innovation, flexibility, and things that you can incentivize county employees that would bring about a culture of change. It's cultivating a mindset of leadership within the county government and the employees.
And perhaps what we call servant leadership. The governor has been really promoting that idea, and I love that, being servants of the people. And as opposed to kind of that top-down dogma of here's how it's going to go because I said so.
My goal under my administration was that when someone asked a county employee who you work for, their answer would be you. When someone asked them, they shouldn't say the county executive.
Correct.
They should tell that taxpayer or that citizen they were, and they should believe that and feel that, and that's the difference.
And you know what? What a great follow-up question. How can we be of service to you?
Absolutely.
Right? Because I know when I was on the trail and meeting and knocking on doors, I remember asking, I wasn't telling, you know, so often as candidates, we spew our three things, you know, we want people to know about us. But unfortunately, after the 50th person knocking on their door, they're kind of tone deaf, right? And so it really is not important what I say about my campaign as much as it is, how can I serve you? Well, here's what I think about what you just said. If we're asking them, we're more in touch with what really matters to the constituents.
Absolutely. And sometimes I even got criticized because I wasn't self-promoting as much as I was asking people. When I go somewhere to sit around and talk to a group, I actually ask them, you know, what are your thoughts? I was raised like very from humble beginnings, and it was like you worked hard and you gave glory to God, and you, if you didn't have anything good to say about someone, you didn't say anything at all. So this whole, that self-promotion thing was difficult. I was more that person who wanted to know what everyone else.
Well, and part of that maybe as you go along is transitioning a little bit to being understanding that your promotion of yourself is in service of something. And that maybe is a hard shift when you have the humility that you have, which is a lovely quality. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I have with me today Regina Williams. It's delightful to have you with us. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions and Dr. Taj Karimi, a urologist who's terrific. I'd also like to thank Sweeties on the Creek, and let you know that we are not only scooping now, we are making ice cream now. It is all fresh made because you can't fake fresh. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. It's great to have you with us today. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Regina Williams, and we are talking about her candidacy, but we're really talking about her as a leader. And I thought it was a great opportunity to bring you back in and have you share the backstory of your success. And so if you rewind a little bit further to what made you decide to become a CPA?
You know, it's funny because really, numbers aren't my thing. I was always, when we did our aptitude test in school, I was more on the writing and the language, the reading side of was my strength.
Well, then there's hope for
numbers.
Me yet.
It really wasn't. But, you know, actually, it was in my and I grew up on a farm, like I'd said. So I was in 4-H and active in FFA. I participated in an agribusiness contest. And one of those things was doing a balance sheet and doing financial statements as a farmer, you know, and that thing. And I competed in that, and I really liked that. I liked this balance sheet. Everything had to equal at the end, and you know, that concept. But you know, I took an accounting class, and you know, accounting is the language of business. No matter what profession, I think everyone needs a firm grasp of financial wisdom and to be successful in life, whether it's personal finances or running a business. I just think that's a key and a very important quality.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things, of course, I work in human services, and one of the things that is really troubling, frankly, is that there are so many children today who are coming out of the school system without this idea of financial literacy. And really raising people out of poverty or breaking the cycle of poverty, we often say, is generational. Giving people financial literacy is such an important tool. Do you have any thoughts about that?
It is. I agree so 110% on that. And it does start. You can start it at such a young age with your children. I mean, for me, it was just ingrained from my humble beginnings and all, but like there are so many opportunities we have to teach our children in little ways that you're not sitting down reading a book, but you can teach them about financial literacy. And I think we sometimes overlook our words, our actions, and the impact it has on children and our
youth.
Do you
have any thoughts or suggestions where people could access some tools to teach children financial literacy? I'm wondering, it may not be something you have at the top of your head, but what we might do is do a follow-up, you know, Facebook post or something that would give people some place to go.
Absolutely. I would definitely
do
that.
Yeah, well, let's work on that. I guess I really have a heart for that work because, you know, when you see people suffering, and I see it every day, and it's heartbreaking. And a lot of times I think it's people finally get so underwater, so to speak, as we said in the mortgage crisis. Now it's really people underwater, struggling to make ends meet or to pay an electric bill or to buy the grocery they need. And they need, you know, the food supplement program to just feed themselves. And one of the programs I'm going to give a shout out to right now is Blessings in a Backpack, because Hermine has been phenomenal at running this program. And, you know, these types of things where we give people access to food is such a relief.
Yes. And those that have, we it's something we take for granted. We just take it so for granted.
Right.
And it is. And I hats off to Blessings in a Backpack. I agree.
It's just it's a great program.
Amazing.
It really is. And there are other versions of it across the state and nation. Blessings in a Backpack, of course, is a national program, but there are various iterations of it. And I know that I just was listening. There's a program that is sending food home, not just for the children, but for families every 2 weeks during the summer, because when they're not in school, what do they eat?
Right.
So we have to really look out for our neighbors. And, you know, one of the things I guess I'm very proud of as somebody who is a conservative, but, you know, I always said I'm a compassionate conservative. Nobody has to hold me down to have me give. We give because it's in our heart to give, not because we have to. And, you know, I've seen very generous people making an enormous difference through the work that I've done. But I digress. So let's get back to your background then as a CPA. So here you found yourself applying the financial principles to farming. And then did you ever think that you would be, you know, running a farm? Was that kind of your vision, that you would be a farm owner? Or
no, I grew up on a dairy farm, and we actually had, by the time I had got into high school, and it was 10th grade, we sold our dairy farm operation. And
was that hard?
It was. It was, you know, that was the only way of life I knew, and you just watched it all get auctioned off to the highest bidder. And unfortunately, Frederick County lost a lot of dairy farms in the 1980s.
Economic crisis kind of condition that caused that?
Yes.
And they couldn't keep up?
Yes. You know, milk prices kept falling, and just the cost of, you know, to run a farm, it was very, very tough on small family farms. And I watched my dad, you know, start over, learn a new trade. And, you know, so a lot of lessons learned there. But that's when, you know, I also knew that education was important, and whatever I took that I wanted that foundation. I watched how, you know, hard my dad struggled on the farm and starting over. And so that was more, you know, the avenue came through the FFA and that contest. But the goal wasn't to necessarily apply it to farming at that point. It was just getting that financial background.
It's a foundation you can use in anything. But I want to go back to this idea of the farming business. And at some point, I'd like to have somebody from the ag business on. Maybe you can help me find the right guest. But, you know, I think that there's been a shift, I think, from these mega farms back to this idea of organic farming. What do you see in that business? And then we're just a quick minute and then we'll go to break.
I like that. I like seeing that. And I feel like you know, we to conserve agriculture, and it is a big part of Frederick County. I love the different venues and avenues that people are taking to change a traditional farm into a way to make a living and or a hobby, but to preserve that farmland or that rural character that we have in Frederick County.
I was just having a conversation just yesterday with a colleague in Baltimore City, where I'm currently working, and the idea of food deserts in the cities, you know, and there are people that desperately want that access to food. So, you know, we should talk about that when we come back from the break. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions, Sweeties on the Creek, and Dr. Taj Karimi. And I'd also like to thank WFMD for the opportunity to have the show. I hope it continue to enjoy listening. And if you're interested in being a sponsor, please let us know, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton. I have with me today Regina Williams, who is a candidate during the primary season for county executive here in the Frederick County area. And, you know, we were talking before the break about farming, because it's timely given my conversation yesterday in Baltimore about this idea that the industry of farming has gone, I guess, through so many changes. And it's not something I'm really familiar with. I guess I'm more of a city gal. But, you know, when you look at Baltimore City, for example, which is, for all intents and purposes, in Maryland, one of the biggest challenges we have in terms of human services and poverty and some of that. One of the conversations I had was that there's a food desert in Baltimore, in many, many of the communities where they really don't have access to the fresh vegetables and things like that. And the new mayor is wonderful. I've had the opportunity to work with her on a couple of different projects. And, you know, the farmer's market now that they put in some farmer's markets there. But how do you envision, you know, our rural, because Maryland is so vast, you know, we go from the mountains to the ocean, we go from the rural to the city. How do you see us maybe integrating more of it? Can you take me a broader statewide view?
Wow. And statewide, I mean, we are overall as a state, I feel like we have a lot of rural areas, and we have that, you know, that heritage in Maryland. I believe it takes, and I think we're doing a lot of that in it starts in the communities and in the counties, and that and we're starting to see that happen. And I think, you know, that will grow as we interconnect. And but I believe it begins at the community level, a municipality level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you know, certainly the governor has done a lot, I think, to empower some of these rural areas where perhaps in the past, Western Maryland, I'm thinking of the Eastern Shore, the Mid Shore, the Lower Shore, where I've done quite a bit of work. You know, there's a real emphasis to bring jobs and opportunity and industry to try and raise people up by employment. And I'm a big believer in economic development and employment opportunities. So
absolutely. And public-private partnerships. And I think that leadership at the top with the governor and working together with county leaders and all, I believe a lot can be done. There's definitely a lot of room there for advancement. And
yeah, and you know, one of the, I think, challenges Maryland has is the fact that we are so connected to really the D.C. scene, if you will, because of federal workers, federal contractors. Certainly here in Frederick, it's Fort Detrick, but, you know, you also have the other facilities across the state. Do you have any thought about how, I guess, when one of the things I struggle with is that it feels like a lot of those folks are left out of the process. And I'm kind of going back to the campaign for a minute. But, you know, do you have any thoughts about how we can allow independent voters or unaffiliated to be more a part of the process?
And I wish it was an open election, you know,
here
locally. I do, because, you know, so many people are just disenchanted with, and understandably so, the divisiveness and the polarization that's happening in politics. And it's about that initial at the end of your name. And I think so many people, I get the frustration as an independent that they want to separate themselves from that. And many go in the independent route, but they're taking their voice out of, unfortunately, by going that route, they're taking their voice out of actually the candidate, choosing the candidate they might would want to support. And in general, they take that voice out when they do
that. It's really a problem. And I think it leaves us with, to your point, that polarization. But I say it, I say it this way, the 5% on the far left and the 5% on the far right are making the decisions for 80% or 90% who live in the middle.
It's a shame, because I've always said, and I have learned this firsthand, that the vocal minority does not speak for the silent majority, and yet they are ending up making the decisions that based on the vocal minority.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think, you know, when you think about the primary and in this process of sifting through the candidates who are interested in that position, to your point, unfortunately, a lot of times it is those vocal minorities who are driving perhaps public opinion.
Yes.
How might we give more people more voice? I don't know what the answer is, to be honest with you, other than to make it an open election.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, the other people aren't that, once they separate from the party without having that open, they don't have a vote in the primary. They don't have a vote in the primary.
Well, and I said it throughout this season, you know, getting the right person through the primary is critical. It's not only critical to make sure that you're choosing the right candidates, but that are going to serve the broad, you know, the broader interests, but it's who can actually win the general.
Yes. Yes, it is. It really is. That's important too, you know, in that, and then fortunately it is. So, you know, in the primary you have, I guess, more informed voters that really do actually vote regularly in a primary election. In the general, it becomes even more uninformed voters, you know, that aren't paying attention and aren't. And that's not to put anyone down, because we have such busy lives. And until I worked in county government, I didn't know much about local politics. You know, I knew the national headlines, but really it's a shame, because local politics has more of a direct impact on your day-to-day life for most people. You know, the funding of our schools and our public safety and zoning and different things that happen here locally, it has a more direct impact. And many people, they don't know that what charter government is. They don't know, the average voter, what they were even voting for when that happened. And so it is a shame that more emphasis on the local level and, you know, isn't, I guess from the voter standpoint, it's more on the national news and what's, you know, in your face on the news now, and what the focus is more on the national level.
Well, you know, I think about the charter government, and I think we could debate it, you know, probably till the cows come home, about whether it was a good decision or a bad decision to go to charter government. And there's lots of opinions on both sides. But what I've experienced or witnessed, and frankly have been disappointed by, is some of the disconnect between the team. You know, I look at it as a team. You know, I have a team of people who work for me, and we've got to be cohesive and coherent. You know, we've got to be getting each other's back to get the work done. But unfortunately, in the political setting that a county council is, there is not that team camaraderie.
No.
Now, I will say that in speaking with April Miller, who ran for Board of Ed, and, you know, I think the world of April, she said, you know, we have a good team. We don't always agree.
Right.
I'm quoting her. That's okay. But, you know, I think it was well said, but we get along. And I want to see that in the county leadership. It's so important that county council and county executive can work together as a team. We may not always agree.
Right. I agree. And that's part of, you know, April's comment there. I think you saw more of that in the county commissioner form of government, similar to the BOE and the number of members, and that you had equal powers and all there, that as a group and, you know, was more of a cohesive body.
And I'm going to give
form.
A shout out to Brad Young, because as the president of that board, Brad is fantastic. I've had the pleasure of having him on the show many times. And
I agree.
And I think he's wonderful. And that is leadership.
It is leadership. It starts at the top.
Correct.
It does.
Correct.
And that's whether it's a charter form of government or commissioner form of government, it is the leadership. You know, there are command and control styles of leadership. There are, you know, I think I'm more of a collaborate and connect with people style. And there's micromanaging. There's so many different styles of leadership. And it is key to have an effective group of individuals working together, and being effective is the leadership.
And probably to your point, there's a combination. Sometimes you got to be collaborative. It's appropriate for the project, or you have enough time, frankly. Sometimes you got to just call it.
Yes.
Here's what
yes.
we're doing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
And you got to know when to do that. And as I like to refer to it as swift and decisive leadership,
yes.
Is sometimes required. But, you know, when you look at your future going forward, have you any thoughts about what you might want to do? If you weren't beholden to anything and you could
right.
just wave a magic wand, what would you do?
You know, and that's such a great question, because it really is something that I'm seriously looking at and thinking about. This experience and actually the decision to run, it was part of, I had to go to my boss, and I give Brett Hess and BMC, I tell you what, to give me the opportunity to do what I did. And basically say, it happened during an evaluation we were doing at the office, and it was a very thorough, it asked lots of questions. And one of the questions on it was, does your skill set match the duties that you're doing? And I started thinking about what I've done up till that point in my life. And that ended up encouraging me to step out of my comfort zone and run for county executive and make that decision. And through that process, I've realized there's something else I want to do. And I don't know that it's necessarily numbers related to the CPA. Serving others, the impact it had in working this campaign with my daughter and her friends, small business is like a backbone here in the county. I don't know if it's going to be working and trying to grow. I have the opportunity to work with 40 small businesses, you know, at BMC and the accounting firm. And it just, all of these things have inspired me that I feel there's something else out there for me.
Well, it's a great exploration. And I always tell people, you know, got to tap into what you're passionate about.
Yes.
And when you tap into that passion, I'm looking at it too, and I think it's a great inquiry to be in. What do I really, really want to be doing next? You know, and life is an adventure. And when you approach it as an adventure, it's way more fun than when you approach it as an obligation.
Absolutely. We spend a lot of time at work, and you know, it's most of our life, and it should be. It should be something you're passionate about.
You know, that's a great note to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens with Jen Charlton. I have with me today Regina Williams. It's such a pleasure to have you with us. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Xerox Complete Document Solutions, Sweeties on the Creek, Dr. Taj Karimi, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jennifer Charlton, and I have with me today Regina Williams. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you about your journey, you know, recently here running for county executive, but also learning more about you. And you were mentioning something as we went to break, and I said, no, wait, and let's share it with the listeners. So what were you going to say?
Well, one of the things that inspired me on this journey, I read a book, and it was called Daring Greatly. And one of the quotes in it was from Theodore Roosevelt about the man in the arena and from his speech. And, you know, I think one of the things that kind of, you know, in society, that the irony, the thing that I think we feel that isolates us from others is actually the very thing, the common thing that we share. And sometimes that's our fear of failure or not being enough. And my experience through running this campaign, what it gave me, that taking that vulnerability and putting yourself out there, and it has inspired me to just live a wholehearted life of courage and engagement and purpose, and to have those three things in my life and whatever I do going down the road.
Well said. That's wonderful. Courage, engagement, and purpose. You know, we can all benefit from that. We can all benefit from that. And, you know, I think of the amount of missed opportunities, so many in my life, so many. And, you know, I'm now, when people ask, I'm a yes.
Yes.
You know, I'm unless it's crazy, I'm a yes. If you ask me to do something crazy, I'm not going to say yes. But if it's an opportunity, and even if I'm a little fearful or I'm not sure I can do it, sometimes it's trusting the person asking.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, it is.
So if somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, Regina, I think you ought to run for county executive, or I think you ought to run for delegate, you know, what's your answer? Sometimes it's trusting the listening or the viewpoint that people have of us, because yes. In our own, as I used to tell my people I trained, in the dark, dank depths of your own mind,
we doubt.
You're going to just come up with doubts and reasons not to.
We do. We do so often. And I just think, you know, that quote that was in that book, you know, at the end of the day, even if you have failed, you failed while daring greatly. And there's just something about that. In your highest achievement, or whether you come up short, there's something about going out there and putting yourself out there. And I have no regrets for that.
That's wonderful. Well, I think it's terrific that you ran, and I hope that you'll run again. And I hope that in your evaluation, in the quiet moments, when you're with your dark, dank depths of your own mind, that you'll think about all the faith that people had in you. Because how many votes did you get as a first timer?
3,800.
Yeah. So, you know, that was significant for a major race. I mean, that was a major race. So, Regina, here you are as on the backside of the candidacy. Do you support the new Republican candidate for county executive, Kathy Afzali?
Yes, I do. And I do believe, especially after going through, you know, this race in the primary, I encourage and I hope that the Republican Party unites together in this backing. and puts their support behind our Republican nominee. There is healing that needs to be done within this party. There's a lot of division and a lot of factions. And, you know, if we can all have the conversations and let's put a little humility and a little respect in that, in those conversations and the openness and willingness to listen. We won't agree on everything, but we have to come together. If we want the change that we all envision, we have to take that first step.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. And I appreciate your leadership because I know that there are people who really appreciate what you bring to the whole dynamics. And so you saying that means so very much. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Perhaps we will see you on a ticket sometime soon for a delegate position or something like that, perhaps, maybe.
Never say never.
Never say never. All right. So, you know, I'd also like to thank the people that, and I suspect you had quite a number of people who worked on your campaign, but for all the people who work on campaigns and support the candidates, it's so important to have that volunteer support because we can't do it alone. It's a team effort.
It truly is. And it's so humbling to watch, you know, as a single mom, it's asking someone to support you with their hard-earned money or to give their precious time to you. I know I could appreciate those two things. And that was so hard. And it's so humbling when people are so generous with their time or their money or whatever they can do to help your cause. It is quite humbling.
Well, and I think when you talk about engagement, that is the piece that I would like to see more of.
Yes.
I would like to see the public, the people, taking back, frankly, our government and have it be for the people, by the people.
Absolutely.
Laura Ingraham calls it power for the people, you know, because I've seen, unfortunately, in a lot of the folks that I've interacted with, that it starts to become about them and their power and their control. And when you do that, you've lost your way.
Yes.
As a politician and a public servant. And that's what we mean. We say public servant because it really is. We're here to serve the people. And so, you know, I think there's an opportunity for people, and I want to encourage people, really, wherever you are, if you're in Frederick County or in your Berkeley or wherever you're listening from, there is a way to engage public servitude, and that is through commissions and boards. That is a way that we as the people can engage in that process. And frankly, that's where I got my feet wet.
And they're always looking for people to serve
right.
on
and
these boards.
You have talents in particular areas. If you're a medical doctor, there are places where you can plug in at the local or at the state level. MDH, I know, is looking for, you know, board members. You have people, you have opportunities if you're in finance or if you're a builder and you know about zoning.
Yes.
Or, you know, there are all sorts of boards and commissions. So please reach out and investigate where you are, the opportunities to plug in. And Regina, I'd just like to thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the courage and the engagement and the leadership that you provided when you ran for office and the example that you set.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to have you. Thank you all for listening to Success Happens. If you're out of area, don't forget you can plug in and listen live at WFMD.com. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of Success Happens, reach out to me at 410-507-1197. Have a great week, and thank you so much for your support.